We read the Word of God from Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. For thou art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, they also sing. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture we consider as our text this Thanksgiving morning, verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would have thought when the calendar turned on January 1, 2020, that we would go through what we have been through this year? That we would have been shut up in our homes by order of the government, that churches would be shuttered, that even on this day, some of them are not holding worship, so that for weeks, at least in this country, no one called on the name of God in a public assembly for worship. That is odd. I wonder if that's ever happened in the history of the world, that throughout an entire nation, no one called on the name of God in a public worship, that schools would be shut down, that things that we take for granted seemingly no longer exist. A handshake, a congregation that is united in one room for worship, that activities that we take for granted are now forbidden by law. Gathering of a family in covenant fellowship, allowed and commanded by God, forbidden by law. Many things have changed, and very few of them for the better. And so the world curses the year as the worst year ever. They look around for someone to blame. They are agitated and anxious and angry, all because God turned their world upside down. None of them look to God or call upon God or praise God or thank God. They cry out to man. They call on the government to save them. Save us! And so the world, looking at the year, said it was a terrible, terrible, terrible year. The worst year ever. And in their soul, they're full of anger. Very different is the believer. The psalmist looks around and he says, yes, the tokens of God make men in every clime to fear. They're afraid at thy tokens. When God shows himself in the world to be God, when God says in his government of the world clearly and without any doubt, I am God and man is not God, I must be worshipped, feared, honored, glorified, and praised, then man trembles and blasphemes and changes the truth of God into a lie and worships the creature rather than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. And so there's no thanksgiving in the world at all. There's only a reckless and damning indulgence of their lust. Very different is the believer. David looks around in the world and he says, O Lord, it was a good year. It was an excellent year. It was a good year as every year is good because it was a year in which God conspicuously displayed himself as God who is only good. And because of that goodness, the goodness of God, David, with all of Israel, go up to the house of the Lord to be satisfied in the house of the Lord with the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord supplies a never-ending reason why Zion praises the Lord. Why in Zion there is always praise waiting for God. Because God is good. Because God is infinitely and flowingly good in all that he does, in all that he gives. Especially to his Zion. There in Zion, the goodness of God's house awaits. The goodness that is the presence of God's perfect and glorious being. The goodness that is the overflowing of God in all his perfections to his people, filling his people and satisfying his people with his goodness. The goodness of God that consists especially in the forgiveness of their sins. Isn't that good? If the whole world fell apart and we could say, God forgave my sins, we would have an endless reason to praise the goodness of the living God. And David notes then too that the praise of Zion is not a perfunctory, superficial praise, but it is the paying of a vow. To thee, O God, shall the vow be paid for thy goodness. The consecration, this is the praise of Zion, the consecration of one's entire life and all that God gives to the glory and praise of the living God. God doesn't get merely a tenth, but recognizing that everything that we have, everything that we are, is His. We pay a vow. We worship Him and thank Him by paying a vow. A vow that is the consecration of all that we are and all that we have. Praise to Jehovah God. Jehovah God because He's good. And recognizing the goodness of God, then David also looks around in creation. And David sees that God crowns the year. He crowns the year with fatness. That's the theme of these verses. Crowning a year of His goodness. Notice first of all, a year of goodness. Notice secondly, an unmistakable crown. Notice finally, praising Him. It really makes little difference for the proper interpretation of the psalm whether David in the psalm is paying regard only to the nation of Israel when he speaks, or whether David is looking out in the whole world as far as David could see, and therefore talking also about Israel and the nations. Makes little difference, because if David is talking about just Israel, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Israel is divided along the lines of election and reprobation. And so, whether David is talking about Israel or all the world, still what David is talking about must be divided along the lines of election and reprobation. And it makes good sense in the psalm to say that David was talking about the whole world when he talked. David sees by prophetic vision, David sees the gospel going out to all the world. David sees God worshiped in all the different parts of the world. David says that the tokens of God causes men in every part of the world to fear Him. The psalm, therefore, informs us as we sit here in the year 2020 in the United States what our view of the world ought to be. And the psalm begins and ends with a trumpet call concerning the goodness of God. God is good. God is good in Himself. God is good always. God is good in all that He does. God is good and He is never evil. And the psalmist, starting from the standpoint that God is good, the psalmist speaks here in verse 11 of a year of God's goodness. That's how we ought to understand that phrase in verse 11. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness. Rather, that is to be translated, Thou crownest a year of Thy goodness. The year is a year of God's goodness. In light of the fact that David in the psalm is talking about earthly things, he is. Don't spiritualize what David is talking about. He's talking about earthly things. David sees Israel bringing in a harvest. David looks over the hills and he sees that the hills are rich with corn. David sees that they're lush with grass for good pasture. And he sees that they're teeming with animals. David is talking about food, bread, and water, and wine, and oxen, and houses, and bank accounts, and turkey, and yams, and cranberry salad. David is talking about earthly things. And in view of those earthly things, David talks about a year of God's goodness. The goodness of God, then, David, makes a distinction between the goodness of God and the earthly things. David is talking about, first of all, a year of God's goodness. The year is always a year of God's goodness. That's because of who Jehovah God is in Himself. In Himself He's good. He's good as God. He's good as the ever-blessed God. He's good as the one who is fullness Himself. And then God is good in all that He does. He's good all the year long. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. In everything that He does, He is good. And God is good to all. His tender mercies are over all His works. He is good to all. He is good to every single human being, head for head. He is good to every creature. He was good to Israel and Canaan. He was good to Moab and to Philistia and to Canaan. He was good to the Syrians and Assyrians and to the nations on far off islands. The Lord was good in all that He did. He was never evil. He was good in fruitful years. He was good in barren years. He was good in health. He was good in sickness. Good and only good. When you say that, you have to understand the goodness of God is not synonymous with His grace. When we say God is good to all, we are not at all saying God is gracious to all. The goodness of God includes His grace. When God is good to Israel and to such as are of a clean heart, when God overflows with the goodness of His house, that's His grace. Grace to His people of His pleasure. Grace to His chosen, whom He has brought near to Him. But God's goodness also includes His righteousness and His holiness. So that while God is good to the wicked, He is good in His righteousness and good in His holiness. God in His goodness, by His tokens of His goodness, makes men and every clime to fear. Goodness of God is this, that God in His being and in all that He does blesses the righteous, and that God in His being and in all that He does curses the wicked. God is good. You cannot gainsay that definition of goodness. Isn't that true even of an earthly judge? That the earthly judge who justifies the righteous and who condemns the wicked is good. But the earthly judge who justifies the wicked, condemns the righteous, is an evil judge. The earthly judge who judges all men to be righteous is evil. Goodness of God always is that God in all that He does blesses His righteous, and God in all that He does curses the wicked. And then you can say, God is good to all. Then you must say, the year is always a year of God's goodness. That year in David's year was a reign or a year of God's goodness. Every year since the creation of the world has been a year of God's goodness. Every year until there are no more years will be a year of God's goodness. Always God is good, because in all that God does in the year, He blesses the righteous. And all that God does in the year, He curses the wicked. And that year of God's goodness, therefore, corresponds in the text to God's paths. David, as he looks over Israel, he sees the clouds coming, and he sees the storms, and he sees the rain. He sees the springing of the grain, and he sees the grass green upon the hills, and he sees the movement of the animals. And he says, the Lord visited the earth. He sees God walking through the earth. God's paths are God's ways. They are God's ways as God marches through history. As God visits the earth all history long and every single year, as God marches through that year, and as all things in that year are the result of the visiting of the Lord, of His walking through the earth. Jehovah's paths are all that Jehovah does, so that all things in the earth are Jehovah's paths. And those paths of Jehovah are not only what He does, but why He does it. When we are confronted with Jehovah's paths as Jehovah walks through our life, Jehovah walks through our nation, Jehovah walks through the earth, Jehovah marches through history. The question not only is what that Jehovah does, but why does Jehovah do it? Jehovah does all that He does to reveal Himself as the only good and ever blessed God. Jehovah does it to execute His goodness upon all. Jehovah does it to bless the righteous, and Jehovah does it to curse the wicked. So that the whole year of God's goodness is the path that Jehovah has walked through that year. And that path of God, that pathway of God, even as we have seen that pathway in this year, that pathway of God began in eternity. David even indicates that. Blessed is the man whom Thou hast chosen, bringeth near unto Thee. Cursed is the man whom Thou hast rejected, cast off far from Thee. That pathway of Jehovah, originating in the decree of Jehovah God Himself, that pathway is the way that Jehovah marches every year of history, so that that year is the unfolding of the eternal counsel of God. That pathway of Jehovah marched all through the Old Testament. That pathway of Jehovah passed through Bethlehem. That pathway of Jehovah God passed through Bethlehem because there He visited the earth, and that pathway continued through Gethsemane, and that pathway marched outside of Jerusalem to the cross of Calvary. That pathway came into the courtroom of Pontius Pilate and the Sanhedrin. That pathway was there, and all those who marched past the cross of Calvary. That pathway included the walk of Jesus carrying His cross, staggering there on the roadway outside of Jerusalem. That pathway included all of the hellish agonies and the darkness of the cross and the tomb and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ and the return in the Spirit and God's governing now all things by Jesus Christ. That pathway comes to us when God regenerates us, when He brings us near to Himself. To that pathway of Jehovah God includes all of God's forgiveness of our sins. So that when our sins rise up against us, He purges them all away. Why? When Jehovah comes to you and visits you, and Jehovah marches through your life, why are you not destroyed? Because His tokens make all men terrified. You are not destroyed because He chose you and bring you near to Him and forgave you all His sins. That pathway of Jehovah God includes all His dealings in the earth with every single human being, with you and me too. It includes all the good and all the bad. It includes everything that He gives to us and all that He does in our life. And that pathway will march through history until the perfect day comes when He will bless the righteous with eternal life, curse the wicked with everlasting damnation. And all that pathway, and all that He does, God is good. For 6,000 years, He has walked through the earth in goodness, blessing the righteous, cursing the wicked. For 6,000 years, in His whole government of the world, Jehovah has been good. In this year, Jehovah was good. You have to confess that. You will never be thankful. And I will never be thankful for anything unless we say first, Jehovah is good. Let's this morning, in our own mind, look back over the year. What did Jehovah do as He walked through your life? What did Jehovah do as He walked through this nation and through this time in history? Did He do any evil at all? He did good. Only good. Because in all that He did, He blessed us, His people, causing all things to serve our salvation. And He cursed all the wicked, even when He filled them to the brim with food and drink. And that goodness, that confession of Jehovah's goodness to us this year, does that not begin with the goodness of Jehovah's house? Look back over the year, and will you dare say, Jehovah was not good to me? He didn't feed me with anything in His house. Will you not look back over the year and say, Jehovah was good to me in His house? With the goodness of Thy house was I satisfied. When my sins rose up against me, Jehovah purged them all away. How blessed I am to have been chosen by Him, and how blessed I am to have been brought near unto Jehovah God, to be able to call Him my God, to praise Him and to worship Him, to bless His name. Can't be thankful. You won't be thankful for food and drink. You are not first thankful for the overflowing goodness of Jehovah's house. That means, too, this morning, as we look back over the year, that in everything we must be thankful. In every situation, your and my thanksgiving today and the rest of the day is not dependent, may not be dependent upon the abundance of the food on the table. If the fig tree fails and the vine yields not her grapes, if there is no fatted calf in the stall, if the harvest fails, if we are sick, if we lack, we must still speak of a year of His goodness. All good. Nothing evil at all. And so thanksgiving begins with faith. There is no thanksgiving without faith. If you do not believe, and I do not believe, Jehovah is good. Good to me and all. We cannot be thankful. Faith is the beginning of thanksgiving. If you and I do not believe that Jehovah purges away all our sins, you and I can never be thankful. If you and I do not believe Jehovah has chosen us in His grace, brought us near to Him, you and I never be thankful. Let us believe this morning. Out of that faith confess, Jehovah is good. And then you and I may look over the year as David did And we may speak of a crown on the year of God's goodness. And we may look over the paths of Jehovah God as He marched through our life, walked through the nation, and walked through the earth. We may see that those paths drop fatness. The crown and the fatness are the same in the text. David looks over the year and he says it was a year of God's goodness. And then David notices that there is a crown on the year. A crown is just very simply a conspicuous token of goodness. It makes the goodness obvious. If I would put a crown on one of the heads of the children in catechism, all the other children would say, "He's good to that little child." And so God puts a crown on the year of His goodness. He gives a clear, unmistakable token, mark of His goodness. And David calls that crown fatness. Fatness is simply a sign in the Scripture of health and well-being. The man who was healthy, the man who was wealthy, the man who enjoyed an abundance of earthly things was the man who was fat. His eyes stood out with fatness. He was rotund with the fatness of the earth. He enjoyed all the good things of the earth. And so David here with the crown and with fatness speaks about earthly things, even an abundance of earthly things, a clear and unmistakable token and sign that Jehovah is good. Jehovah, when He visits the earth, His paths drop fatness. Jehovah, when He visits the earth, He waters the hills with rain from the sky. He causes the fields to spring up and to flourish. And Jehovah, when He does that, Jehovah puts a crown on the year. And He brings fatness into the year. And that speaks about Jehovah's care and close fellowship with His creation. Jehovah God made the world, and that world fell into sin and lies under a curse, but Jehovah God didn't abandon it. He didn't leave His creation to fortune and to chance. He holds that creation in His hand. He walks in that creation. He comes near to that creation with the fullness of His transcendent being, so that He waters. He causes to spring up. He brings fatness to the earth. Jehovah God, when He walks in the earth then, takes a well-trodden path. He takes the same course, as it were, year by year by year. The spring and the summer and the fall and the winter. And the rising of the sun, and the setting of the same, and the coming of the moon, and the courses of the stars. The changing of the seasons, all regulated. All the work of Jehovah God, year by year, for thousands and thousands of years. And always His paths dropped fatness. That's always what His paths drop, fatness. Not leanness, fatness. And that's an undeniable sign that Jehovah is good. Isn't that clear? That Jehovah, as He walks through the earth, His paths drop fatness to all. That He crowns every year with an unmistakable sign He's good. Those rich things are an unmistakable sign. They are because the men to whom he drops them. And the year on which he puts that crown is, from the viewpoint of man, an extremely wicked year. With all that man did in the year, and all of his hard speeches, and all of his sin, and all of his wickedness, and all his rebellion and blasphemy against God. For 6,000 years, man done that. It's a shocking display of the goodness and the long-suffering and the forbearance of God, that in this year, with man shuddering his houses of worship, man shaking their fist at God, not calling on his name, that God hasn't burned up the entire creation as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. But he kept dropping fatness. And yet again, he crowned the year of his goodness. And why? That he might bless the righteous and curse the wicked. That the wicked, for all the fatness that Jehovah dropped to them, and the many crowns that he put on every year, they may be utterly inexcusable for their insane madness, not thanking God, blessing him, praising his name. And so that the righteous whom he has chosen, brought near to him, and whose sins he has forgiven, that they may taste and eat and enjoy the good things of God's creation, in order that they may thank him and bless his name for those good things. That's why it is a terribly wicked eating. Terribly wicked eating. Stuff one's face, to fill one's belly to bursting, and never once to think of God, never once to give one expression of thanksgiving, never once to bless him. That's a damnable eating, and such is all the eating of the wicked. But the believer, receiving the fatness from God and seeing the crown that God put on the year of his goodness, the believer praises him. Isn't it good that God, in dropping all those things on the wicked, curses him, sets him up slippery places in order to cast him down to destruction? That's good. Jehovah is good. Praise him. Bless his name. Isn't it good that Jehovah God not only feeds us with bread and water, gives us comfortable homes, gives us well-paying jobs, gives us our health, our strength? That is good. And that with that all, he sends his blessing so that we don't worship mammon. Don't worship mammon. And all your abundance. Don't forget God. Don't be like the wicked who merely seek those things. Don't serve them. Don't make them the reason that you live. Don't make them your happiness and your joy. Don't worship them. Don't be anxious for them. To be anxious about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or wherewithal you'll be clothed, don't be anxious for them. Jehovah's good. He's always good to his people. He'll always take care of them. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. You can't do that. You cannot be thankful if your heart is full of fear, if your mind is full of anxiety, if your soul is stirred by angst and worry. You cannot be thankful. You will not be thankful. Because that shows you don't believe that Jehovah is good. You don't believe it at all, or you would not be anxious and fearful and worry. You must believe that he is good. And then you'll be thankful for the crown of the year and the fatness of his paths. And then you'll praise him. That's what the wicked never do. They never praise him. And because of that, it'd be better for them if they never received one thing from God. Because everything he gives them simply sets them up a little higher, that their fall may be a little farther. And so what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He isn't any different than the rich man. The rich man who enjoyed his well-laid table and had to beg God for a drip of water for his burning soul in hell. Is it any different than the rich man who increased in goods, so he had to build bigger barns and laid his head on his silk pillow at night and woke up in hell? Earthly things give you nothing. Nothing at all. If Jehovah doesn't purge away a man's sins, if Jehovah hasn't chosen a man and draw him near to him, those earthly things are for his condemnation. But if Jehovah has blessed you by choosing you and drawing you near to him and forgiving all your sins, and you're satisfied with the goodness of his house, then thank him. That's all you have to do. Thank him. Thank him for the crown of the year. Thank him for the fatness of his paths. Sanctify those things with prayer and with thanksgiving. Consecrate them all to Jehovah God and the worship of his name. And add your voices to the voices of nature. Aren't we so bad at times at that? David looks around and he sees the hills singing. When you see a green hill, it's singing. When you see a field full of grain, it's singing.
It's singing praise to God. It's producing fruit to the glory of God. And so often, we in our hearts, if not with our minds, grumble. Grumble. Terrible day. Terrible week. Terrible year. I don't have this and I don't have that and I want this and I want that. Godless. Add your voices to the voices of all nature praising God for His goodness and for the fatness of His paths. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're sorry for our earthly mindedness, and we're sorry that we often eat faithlessly and we live faithlessly. And Lord, let Thy Word teach us to speak only of Thy goodness, so that in every day, week, and year, Thou art good to us. And this day, Lord, put in our hearts and minds and souls thanksgiving to Thee, that we might praise Thee and bless Thy name, for Thou art good, and Thy mercy is everlasting, and Thy truth endureth to all generations. That we ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.